We shouldn't be surprised by adversity. And I know, you know, when I was thinking of this, you know, I was thinking back in my life. And my life, I look back and certainly my life has been rocked at times. I know when we were in the mission field, I was held up at gunpoint, robbed in a church. There were a couple of people that betrayed me. I am a survivor of cancer. So certainly there's a lot of things in my life that have rocked me. And I can look around here, and I probably, every one of you have been rocked at some point in your life. And if you haven't, hold on, because adversity will come. But one thing I want you to remember that God is with us in the fire. Amen. God is with us in the storms of life. And always remember that as we go through this series, that we can be strengthened through this. And God look for ways that God is using these circumstances for our good and for his glory. And then week two, we saw this test, the second test, which was the pressure to conform to the world's ways. Pressure to conform to the world's ways. And we examined that there are four qualities that God looks for us in our lives: integrity, discipline, courage, and humility. And certainly, you know, when I think of those things many of those, you know, we can look at and say, yeah, those are strengths, but there's probably one area that I need to work on. Amen. And so allow God to make sure that those qualities are there, because those are the qualities that are going to hold us through the storms. Believe me. And so the key principle I want to just bring forth this morning is this, that we're going to kind of look at this thought of instruction or learning. And so the key principle for us this week, for today in this lesson, is consistent learning in God, in the Lord, is going to be the key for our lives. Consistent learning. And I can attest to that, that's one thing that has held me through the storms of life, through when my life has been rocked, I've always come back to the instruction of the Lord that he's put, deposited, that he's allowed to take place in my life and to grow me. Proverbs 4:13 says this: take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Take firm hold. And that's that thought of, you know, we need to be intentional about the instruction in God. It doesn't just come. It doesn't just passively come. We need to pursue it, to take hold of the word of God, and make sure that as we take hold of it, that what? We don't lose it. We don't lose it. Keep her in our hearts. And the result is that wisdom, that instruction will be life to us. Amen. And then Proverbs 24, verse 5 says, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases in strength. And so we need to be in that place where we can learn all that we can. Not head knowledge, but that as we study, as we pursue God and his instruction and his word, as we make ourselves available to Bible studies, to small groups, to every opportunity that we have to learn, that it's going to bring life. It's going to strengthen us. And I can say that from personal experience, that the word of God has been an absolute strength in my life. And I would have never made it through any of these times that my life has been shaken, my life has been rocked to the point where that there were times in my life, I remember, very difficult times, betrayals, and I felt like giving up. And you know what, the one thing that protected me, saved me every single time, was the word of God all of a sudden just began to just flood me, and these scriptures were just coming back to my mind, and God speaking and saying, don't give up. Come this far, don't give up. I have a wonderful plan and purpose for you. It's not worth giving up at this point. And as the scriptures came back to my mind, it's like this strength came up and girded me from underneath me and set my feet again on that firm foundation, that firm path. Don't forget that instruction is so very important in our lives. And as we are instructed, let that instruction go deep. Let it affect every area of our life. So very important. You know, there's so many that they have a lot of head knowledge. There's a lot up here. But you know, when those storms come, if it's up here, it's going to go It's going to go out the window. But if it's deposited, if it becomes the very fiber, the very existence of your life, of your heart, guard it in your heart. Because when those storms come, when your life is rocked like never before, it's that strength from within that will hold you, that will keep you, that will help. Because it's Christ that will be walking alongside in the fire with you. Our spiritual life, brothers and sisters, is really dependent upon this instruction. I can't underestimate the importance of instruction. Make it, beyond anything else, make time. Don't let anything in your life crowd out that opportunity to grow in His instruction, in His Word. Take those opportunities that are available to you and make the most of those opportunities. And the amazing thing is here is, you know, knowledge is not just for the knowledge, but that knowledge, there's a goal, there's a purpose for the knowledge of God. And not only is it to help us, but you know what? Others around us will benefit as we grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Because when then we can begin to reach out for those that are hurting, those whose lives are being rocked, we can come alongside of them and say, this is what I know. This is what my Lord has helped me to do through these circumstances. And we can begin to bring that knowledge and that wisdom into the lives of others and share with them. We cannot share what we don't already have. Amen? We cannot share the wisdom and the knowledge if it's not integrated in our own lives. And wisdom is that really a power. It's a power of right judgment, of making the best decisions among many decisions. You know, there's a lot of decisions that we can make, and some of them are good. But you know, there's very few that are God's best. And so you can settle for good, or you can settle for God, what is your best in this decision, in this time, in this opportunity? You know, Proverbs, if you study Proverbs, Proverbs says that wisdom is what? The principal thing for our life. Wisdom is a principal thing for our life. But how many don't realize that? Or they don't walk in that with that idea that if wisdom is such a principle in life, how come so few walk in true wisdom in this world? And the amazing thing is, the Bible says that what? Wisdom is available to every one of us. It's there for the taking. But so few take that intentional opportunity to appropriate, to come under God and say, Lord, fill me with your wisdom. I need that wisdom from you. You know, it's this thought that, you know, this grab it, take hold of it. And this picture came to me of a someone that's drowning. And this boat comes along and throws out that life ring or life preserver. And this person has a choice. They can either go and grab that life preserver, that life ring, or they can just say, I don't need that. I'm doing okay. I'm fine. I'm just fine. And then what happens? They drown. And I think of this as what God is offering to the world, His wisdom, His knowledge as that life ring. And all we have to do, all the world has to do, is grab onto it to be saved. But how few take that life preserver, the life preserver of the wisdom and knowledge of God. So we come to Daniel's third test this week. And this third test is this thought of that Daniel's faith was being challenged, the challenge of his faith. And all of us today, if we haven't been, we will be faced with the challenges to our faith. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And so the thought here is this, that obviously, as we've learned from the study, that Daniel and his friends, the Babylonians came in and took captivity, the Jewish people, and they began to scatter them around. And so here, Daniel and his three friends were taken into Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. And what they were doing was basically this kingdom, which was an enemy of Israel, was going to indoctrinate indoctrinate these four men. Indoctrinate them into what? Into the Bible? No. Into the ways, the ways of the Chaldeans. Obviously not of the Jewish faith, not the Jewish God, but their own gods. And this is really what I believe today, what we and really the world is facing to a greater and greater degree. That we've heard of certainly the cancel culture. Anything trying to cancel any idea of that God should be in any of our daily affairs. Amen. In the government. God's being pushed out of the government. God's been pushed out of the education. And even to the point where, I mean, if you mention anything about the Lord, if you mention anything about Christian beliefs, it's like there's so much pushback. There's so much like you're a bigot. You're somehow weird. And I remember, you know, growing up as a kid and my parents' time, that was so, very little of that was going on. You know, everyone went to church, or most people went to church, and they understood that God was the faith and bringing up children in the Christian principles and values was good. But how much today, it's like if you are following Christian values and principles, it's like you're weird. You're somehow you know, being pushed aside. And there is an indoctrination. Believe me, I hear it from my kids. There is an indoctrination that's taken place, and the result is, unfortunately, our kids, the youth, are really the victims of this indoctrination, just as these young men here are being indoctrinated. And so for us today, so what are we to do? If we know that this indoctrination is taking place, we know that this world is like going in a different direction than we as believers. So what do we do? You know, I remember, you know, how many of you know that many of the Ivy League schools, Harvard, Princeton, you know what they were brought to do? To train up Christian leaders, pastors. That's what the first Ivy League schools. Now, probably if you go into these schools today, they're far from teaching godly principles. Amen. And this is just what's really happening to education, that it's really gone secularized. Humanistic, you know, absolute truth has been replaced by relative truth. If it makes you feel good, then that is truth. But that's not what the truth of God is. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, as for these four men, God gave them knowledge and skill and in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. This is really amazing when you think about it. I mean, here these Daniel and his three friends were brought into this, you know, their lives were rocked, taken away from everything that they knew, their comfortable culture being. They're thrust into this indoctrination program. They're told that they're going to have this menu of this foreign land, and they were put to the test. So we looked at during week two. They didn't want to conform to the ways of that the Chaldeans, that culture. So they said, test us. They were on their own menu. At the end of that test, guess what? They were better than any of the others. And so they were like, hey, prove that our God is able to watch over us. And then here they're being indoctrinated. And yet somehow through this time, through this very difficult indoctrination, God was able to keep them. And this is amazing that in all the matters of wisdom, and this wasn't the wisdom from the Chaldeans. Who gave this wisdom and knowledge? God. In the midst of all that, and this is encouraging to all of us. I want to encourage the young people here, you know, in the midst of your school and everything that's being thrown to you, in the midst of all that, keep your eyes on the one that is going to give you knowledge and wisdom to be able to put away, to discard, to not allow that false teaching, that the false indoctrination in this world world to sink into you. And be like Daniel and his friends who, after that, after you keep yourselves before God, that even those around you can say, despite that you're 10 times better than anyone else. Isn't that great? That God can so favor you, so give you that wisdom and knowledge that you can exceed everyone in your class because you'll have the wisdom, the knowledge of God in the things of this world. We don't get wisdom and knowledge from this world. Our wisdom and knowledge comes from God, the creator of everything. You know, it's interesting when you look at numbers in the Bible. You know, here it speaks of the four, Daniel and his three friends, the four young men here. And the number four speaks of that universal witness. And then it speaks of that, you know, that they were 10 times wiser. They were 10 times better than anyone else. And we know that 10 speaks of the law, speaks of, it can speak of testing, but it also speaks of perfection, a divine order. And so we see these four men at the end of this testing and indoctrination, because of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, that there's this thought of a universal acceptance and approval of God. When we keep ourselves in His favor and we keep ourselves before Him, that should encourage each and every one of us. If we keep our focus where it should be, on the Lord, despite what's going on around us, God will give us success 10 times better than anyone else around us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Who wants to be like those successful, greater than anyone in this world? We can say, this is what our God does. Greater things shall we do than even Christ did, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit instructs us with wisdom and knowledge. And we have this thought here in the scripture that we just read that, you know, Daniel had these, they were given these dreams and visions. And this reminded me of a dream several years that God gave me. And in this dream, I saw myself paddling a canoe, and I was going up the stream, and I was paddling furiously, and the stream was coming against me. And as I was paddling the stream, these other boaters, canoes, were coming against me. We're going back down the stream. And as I'm paddling up and I'm struggling, you know, every once in a while, you know, one of their canoes would hit me and knock me back. And in this dream, they were just saying, where are you going? You're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. This is the way. Go with the flow. Go with the flow with us. And I heard this call, keep going forward. And as I paddled, and you know, I'm being ridiculed. I'm being saying you're going the wrong way. Nothing's coming going to come about the way you're going. And then I remember hearing this voice say, paddle over to the side of the bank. And so as I paddled over to the side of the bank, I got to the bank. I picked up my canoe and I began to start walking up this bank. And it was this hill. It's this kind of like this mountain. And as I was plodding along, I was like watching everyone just flowing down and again throwing insults at me. But as I began to climb this hill, I began to hear this voice say, keep going forward, keep coming up. And as I climbed this hill, I got to this top. And then at this top was this beautiful, serene lake. And where I then placed my canoe and I began to paddle along this lake. And I got to the other side, and there the Lord was. There the Lord welcomed me and said, well done, good and faithful servant. You listened to my voice, and now enjoy. And I thought about that as everything was coming against me and saying, go the other direction. And as I was sensitive to the voice of God, that to come to the side and to begin to climb that mountain, that in the end, God, that there was a reward, that there was something better at the end of that. And I think that's it's a beautiful illustration of what's available to every one of us. If we keep our eyes, keep our focus on the Lord and listen to Him. Don't listen to all the voices out there, because they're distractions. Hallelujah. And so I want to quickly look at how are we to excel? How we are to excel and not lose our faith. And so in view of time, I'm not going to read every one of these scriptures. I'll mention them for our notes, and certainly you can look at them at home in more detail, go back through the scriptures and meditate upon them. But we've already seen Daniel 1:8. Daniel 1:8 says that, you know, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart not to defile. And I think that's the most important thing that we need to do. In order to excel and not lose our faith is that we need to purpose in our heart, first of all, that no matter what, that we're going to commit, that we're going to keep ourselves in focused on what God is saying in His Word and allowing that Word to do its work in our life. That's how our character will be built. Our character will be built through the study. In Proverbs 1:7, it speaks of that the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When I was hearing this, like God was telling me, one of the biggest problems today, biggest problems in our world, is this very thing here, is there is a lack of the fear of the Lord. You look around us, there is very few really any longer fear the Lord. And I would even have to say that, unfortunately, you know, that the world has come into the church and pushed the fear of God out of from our pews. And I want to encourage us today. The fear of the Lord is a key for knowledge and wisdom. And what is a fear of the Lord? It's a healthy reverence for God. It's that thought that I don't want to miss God no matter what. And it drives us to be intentional, to keep our focus, to keep pressing into God. No matter what is coming against us, we keep focusing. We keep paddling that canoe. And when we hear the voice to come aside, we come aside with God to safety. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 18 speaks of the fear of the Lord is an instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. And we've already looked at that. That's one of the qualities. How do we keep the fear of the Lord with us? We need to be humble. We need to say, Lord, I need you every moment, every day. And I need to have that fear of the Lord to hold me, to keep me. Proverbs 2:6-7. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Proverbs is full of teaching, instruction about wisdom and knowledge. And I commend Proverbs. Read Proverbs daily. Take a one proverb a day. Meditate on it and be instructed by it. And let it strengthen you. Second of all, and this is key, and I've said it and I'll continue to say, never stop learning in the Lord. Never think that you have arrived, that you've been walking with the Lord for so many years. I've been walking for the Lord with 35 years, and you know, I pick up the Bible, I start studying, and it's like all of a sudden something new pops up. I say, man, I never saw that before. Or I'm going through something and I begin to read the Word, and that very Word, God quickens for the situation, the circumstance I need. In my 35 years, I never say, Lord, I've arrived, or I don't need any more instruction. I'm hungry. I want to learn. There's so much to learn from God. There's so many things that we can never master this, the Word of God. Because every day as we read His Word, something new, something fresh, something a new rhema, a new quickened word He can bring to us. And its strength. Proverbs 18:15 says, a heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks that knowledge. And there's thought that there's a progressive, there's an ongoing learning, an ongoing acquiring of knowledge in our life. And 2 Timothy 2:15, I love this. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing. And we do. We need, and the more we study, the more we spend time in the Word of God, in Bible studies, in teaching training, we begin to learn how to rightly divide, how to rightly understand the Word of God. And certainly, as we come with other believers, we learn from them truths and how to study the Word of God. So very important. I'm thinking of the Bereans. The Bible speaks of the Bereans in Acts 17:10-13. And who are the Bereans? The Bereans were a certain people that they took the Word of God, and they never took the Word of God at face value. And what they did was they dug deep, and they wanted to make sure that what they were hearing, what was being taught to them, was actually the Word of God, that didn't contradict the whole of Scripture. You know, it's so very important that as we look at the study of words of God's Word. You know, there's many that I know from my experience. I've heard so many different teachers, and one thing I want to say is that do I agree with everything that every teacher that I've heard? No. There are things that I just say, no, that doesn't line up with what I know. But what I do is I take the meat, I take what is good, and I appropriate that for my life. I say, thank you, Lord. And many times that teaching is confirmed by someone else. And I said, yeah, I heard that before. But you know, we need to be rightly dividing the word of God. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand. And if something's not right, ask the Holy Spirit. If that's not right too, we just refuse it. But you know, so often, it's so often that people throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everyone heard that expression? You just throw everything because one little mistake. And this thought came to me that, you know, there's been times, I'm sure all of us, you know, when we're speaking, we say something and we didn't realize what we said. That maybe it was, and many times, you know, how many of you have heard someone saying, and you misinterpret them? We, you know, we hear people, especially, and depending on how we are, we misheard them or something like that. So I want to say that, you know, there's a difference between being critical and being discerning. And I believe God wants it to be a discerning body of his word, but be aware that we can be so critical that we just throw everything out and we miss what God is holding out for each and every one of us. Amen. God has so much and he uses so many different people to bring truth. And let us be like the Bereans and rightly divide the word of God. And the third of all, this thought of steeping yourself in the word, God's word. And this illustration of a tea bag that you put in water. And no one just throws a tea bag in the water and quickly, within a second, pulls it out. Because what are you going to get? You can get maybe a little cloudy water, right? No, what you do is you drop that tea bag in and you go leave and let it what? Steep, let it settle. And what happens is that those leaves during that steeping starts permeating that water to flavor it. And I believe that the word of God is very much like that. As we allow the word of God to steep, to permeate every part of our life. And that means that what? We have to spend time allowing that word to ruminate, to steep in our life. And what it does is it, as it permeates, it begins to flavor, begins to color our life like Christ. Amen? Begins to permeate every area of our life. And we begin to reflect what Christ is. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor to be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. There's a thought that, you know, it's just not one instance, you know, bing, check the box, but allow it, meditate. Let it ruminate. Let it steep into our very souls. And so Psalm 119, 104, it's through his precepts, it's through the understanding of his precepts that we begin to hate the false ways. You know, it's Proverbs 15:14 says, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. And then finally, stay connected. Stay connected to the believers, those around you. Stay connected to the believers. We need each other. We need each other. We can help each other to grow. God has put us into community for a reason, so that we can begin to encourage, we can begin to strengthen. I love studying with my brothers and sisters because you have perspectives that I don't have. And I have perspective. I have experiences that I can add. We all have experiences. We all have a knowledge of God that we can together can bring into each other's lives to strengthen, to build up, to encourage, and to grow. Amen? We need the community of believers. Do not give up. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And then Hebrews 10:25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I love that, because the day is approaching, that things are going to get more and more difficult, and we need to come together as a body and uphold and come along each side of each other, build up each other and strengthen each other and grow together. Leaving, you know, I love that. Leave no one behind. I love that. And I believe that's what the calling for us is. Leave no brother or sister behind. Let us gather together and bring everyone into that maturity in Christ. And then closing, remember that God will reward us. God will reward us. In Matthew 5, verses 11 through 12. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so in closing, let us remember who strengthened Daniel and his friends. God. And God is for us. God is with us in the fire. God is going to, he is pulling for us. The Holy Spirit indwells us as believers. And that Holy Spirit, his primary function is to help us to walk through the fire, to walk us through the storms of life, and that we can thrive. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, like Daniel and his three friends, they thrive in the midst of really difficult circumstances. And I'm telling you that we can thrive. God is saying, you and I today can thrive no matter what comes our way. But are we going to allow ourselves to be instructed of God, to be taught, to allow his word to strengthen us, to equip us, and to keep us pushing forward, pressing in to everything that he has for us? The key is that instruction, instruction, instruction. And so let us be like Daniel, to be instructed of God, and we will thrive.